Hey guys, I'm Tawny, founder of Sobriety Tea Party and Readings on Recovery.
And I'm Lisa, author of Girl Walks Out of a Bar. And welcome to our podcast,
Recovery Rocks. We're going to talk to you about everything from recovery to rock and roll to living in New York City.
We're going to talk about how we got sober, why we got sober, and how we stay sober.
Hello.
Hola. Hey, y'all.
Welcome to Recovery Rocks.
Hey, y'all.
I'm Lisa.
I'm Tawny.
She's from Texas.
I'm from Texas. Today we're going to talk about when sobriety sucks.
Because it does happen sometimes.
It happens.
But life sucks sometimes.
Yeah, so that's a really good point. Yeah. Life sucks sometimes, so if you're used to getting shit-faced to deal with it, that means sobriety's going to suck sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. Good
point. So I'm going to read an article that I wrote on my blog, September of 2017.
It comes with a very cute picture of a young sober Tawny there.
Yeah.
I'm still young, but...
Yeah, I have a...
Baby Tawny.
Yeah, I'm eating a tea bag. Because the blog is sobrietyparty.com. I know. I tried not... I was like, how am I going to say this without going...
Yeah.
I'm dirty. Okay. When sobriety sucks. Sometimes sobriety can suck. Like, really suck. To me, a life of sobriety has meant a lifestyle of being awake all the time, and it's fucking exhausting. I'm tired. Meditation and yoga can help to an extent. Quality time with friends and family can be relaxing. Workouts can release endorphins, but these solutions are all temporary. When I'm alone on the train ride home, alone in my bed, or alone with my thoughts, anxious feelings that I chose to momentarily ignore manage to get all of my attention. I'm beginning to think that life may be a series of temporary events to get me through to the next one. So I talk about that for a couple more paragraphs, and then I actually I give a list of things that I do that helps me whenever sobriety sucks or when life sucks.
Yeah.
When life sucks and I'm just not getting wasted to deal with it. So one thing that I do is an Instagram deep clean.
Ooh, what is that?
Just going through my Instagram and unfollowing people that drive me crazy. Oh, just like people that I don't, if seeing them in my feed stresses me out, or if I'm like comparing my sobriety to someone else's stuff, like just whatever, just I don't need that.
Yeah.
That, get that out of my life. That's not going to help.
Right.
And then it's also like on the subject of when life sucks sometimes, a lot of political stuff. So if I follow people that post political things that anger me that with opposing views.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't want to be narrow-minded and only follow people that think the way I do, but there's also, I have to find a balance of how to know what I can take in and how, if it's damaging to my mental health or not.
On social media.
On social media.
As opposed to when you're looking at news.
Yeah, like I'll watch the news, but Instagram, I don't want to be angered.
And for that reason, I try to avoid anybody who is, you know, people's feeds who are just full of politics my way or another way.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want social media on Facebook or Instagram, whatever, full of politics. That's not where I want to find politics.
No, and if that's what you want to do on Instagram, cool. Good for you.
Right.
But for me, it stresses me out.
It stresses me out too.
When I'm already in a shitty mood, that's the last thing I want.
Well, I'm also a news junkie, so it will only pull me in deeper.
Yes.
Like that is one place where I can set a boundary, because there are certain places that I can't set a boundary because I can't control it.
That's a good point.
Because I will be reading news compulsively or watching news compulsively, but for some reason I'm able to not have it in that realm.
That's a good point. Like, we can't control the news and what's going on outside, but we can control how it's delivered to
us. It goes back to that thing about 10% of life is what happens and 90% is how we react to it.
How we react to it. That's so... part of me wants to say, 1% of life is what happens and 99%. And then I give a couple Instagram accounts a shout out that make me feel better.
Oh, what are those?
So Body Posy Panda. She's this body positivity queen with colorful hair. And I just like looking at her Instagram puts me in a better mood.
Yeah.
And then the Sober Glow.
Oh, we
our
love
friend.
The Sober Glow.
She has a beautiful perspective on sobriety and also just life.
Yeah.
She's great. And also Empowering Feminists. It's about learning about intersectional feminism and yeah, the news sucks, but it's like, but these are things that I can
right,
do.
Right.
So that's
nice. That's good because sometimes you feel helpless and to even be able to take some small action makes
exactly,
you feel
better. Exactly. Like, donate to this organization, volunteer for this organization. Like, what can I do?
Right.
And I get that from
that
account.
Right. So, I like that.
That's good. And then number two. So number one was Instagram deep clean. Number two, this is a controversial one, but I love controversy.
Yeah, go for it.
I drink non-alcoholic beer.
Yeah.
I love it. It makes me feel better. There's something soothing.
But feel better in feeling like you had a drink or feel better enjoying
having
something that tastes like beer.
There's something soothing to me about it.
Okay.
I mean, it's the same amount of alcohol as in a kombucha, but I like the flavor of beer. I miss that. And so I like that I can have a bottle of this thing and it feels like I'm drinking a beer. It tastes like I'm drinking a beer and it relaxes me.
Yeah.
And I also understand how that can be highly triggering for people and that they can't even, the thought of that is overwhelming.
That's for me. Like, I would be afraid. I mean, I'm in 12-step, and in 12-step frequently said that non-alcoholic beer is for non-alcoholics. But my fear about it is not, or my reluctance to drink it is not because I think there's something wrong or like it's somehow drinking. Mm-hmm. It's because I know that if I had even that taste of beer, I would want the real thing. Like, it would, I feel like, be too triggering for me. It would be like for me to drink like a non-alcoholic, like a sparkling cider thing that's not alcoholic. Yeah. I stay away from that too because it just is too much like, one, the taste, but also the putting me in that mindset of pouring something and picking up the glass. Like, the ritual part of it would come back for me. And I think that's a slippery slope for me.
You're absolutely not alone in that. I know that I am in the small percentage of people
on here.
I know
a lot of people who drink, I mean, mostly outside of 12-step, but I know a lot of people who do drink non-alcoholic beer. And it's not going out and drinking. It's not, you know.
Yeah, it's,
to me, it's a total,
I like it.
I don't see anything wrong with it. For me, I don't feel like I could do that safely. And that's always my barometer. Like, I can't drink alcohol safely. And I think I'd be putting myself, the way I know my brain works, at too much risk.
And that's totally commendable because, like, we always talk
about... Well, we all know our own...
It's so personal, right? Like, some people can't go to a bar.
Right.
Some people have no problem going to a bar.
Exactly.
Some people don't like AA. Some people love AA.
Exactly.
Whatever works for you.
Totally.
This is one of the things that works for me.
It
relaxes me. I very rarely finish a whole one. I'll have maybe half of it.
Well, that's another point. Like, my fear would be if I had one, I'd have to have six.
Yeah, it's not like that. It's just, but it could also be maybe because beer was not my issue.
Yeah.
I liked beer for the taste.
Yeah.
If there was a non-alcoholic whiskey that came in a Jack Daniels bottle, that might be a different story.
Right, that could be problematic for me.
But I just like the taste.
Because that's about the thing of getting drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's still something so romantic to me about a picture of Keith Richards turning up a bottle of Jack Daniels. Even in sobriety, it's just, I still think it's
cool.
Did
you see that Keith Richards said recently he's done drinking now?
Oh. Cool. Good for him, I guess.
Yeah.
I
don't know. Yeah. Like, really, at this point, do you even need to?
Yeah, why?
Yeah.
Did he say why?
I didn't read the whole article, but I think it was just like, I think it was just like at a point. It wasn't like he was saying, oh, I'm, you know, I need to stop drinking. It just wasn't working. Or something like that.
That would make
But
maybe,
I find it kind of hysterical.
He's
like
so
after,
tolerant, it doesn't work anymore.
Right. Like, after all you've been Keith Richards all your life on this and this defiance and like that. Like, just keep going. Just roll with it.
But that's such a Keith Richards approach to not drinking anymore. It's like, not, I don't want my life to be better. It's just, it doesn't work on me anymore.
I'm done. Yeah, whatever.
That's so rock. He's still rock and roll in that answer.
I have to Google that afterwards.
Yeah, we need to know.
Because I must have been at work or something and I didn't get the details.
But that's so, you should have stopped working to read this. That's so important.
I know, see, that's part of the problem with work.
You're right.
It interferes with my personal life.
Let's do an episode about like how work sucks.
We can do that.
Okay, so we've got Instagram deep clean, non-alcoholic beer. If you're not into NA beer, just like maybe just sitting down and having a glass of club soda or just something fun like that.
But something
that it could be nice.
I mean, I think something satisfying, right? Like, I've used before the example that like I would never indulge in like a frothy flavored latte thing because I used to be like, oh, the calories.
Okay,
and now. forget it. It's not, you know, I frequently like to say, look, it's not vodka. It's not cocaine.
Yeah, no, you're right.
I don't care. And I feel much better about that.
Yeah, sit down and have a nice, relaxing drink of something that calms you down, alcohol free.
Yeah.
And that boosts my mood.
Yeah.
Number three is feminism.
You're not controversial at all.
So I say, yes, feminism helps balance me. I believe that being a woman in recovery can be tougher than people realize. Not only do we have the shared baggage that comes with sobriety, not being able to drink, being ever present, dealing with the impact of past behaviors, etc., but we still have the unfair societal demands that only women face. Society wants me to be successful, but not too successful, sexy, but not too sexy, confident, but coy, fit, but not too skinny. I could go on, but I think I've made my point. Living in a society where I'm constantly being told that I need to enhance my physical appearance is incredibly damaging to me, someone who already thinks she's not enough. So learning more about feminism and becoming more empowered as a woman,
right,
helps me on days when sobriety or when life sucks.
Yeah, that's a really,
it's like, well,
I hadn't thought about
how
that
can I empower still. Myself? Like, what am I being down about? Because sometimes when having a bad day in sobriety can mean maybe I've put on a couple pounds. Maybe I have zits.
Yeah.
And in the grand scheme of things, are those really that big of a deal?
No, they are not.
Or is society wanting us to feel that way?
Right. And we beat ourselves up about that in a way that we would never beat up someone else.
No.
You know, that is so true. And the other thing, I really like that idea, and I hadn't thought about feminism before, but, you know, one of the things to me that was liberating about not drinking is that I work I'm a lawyer and I've been in the legal profession all my career, and it is changing now, but it I've been a lawyer for 28 years, and I kind of came through the old boys club, you know.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons that I got to know people well and did well and was liked at work was because I could go out to the bar and wanted to go out to the bar and drink with the guys and talk sports and be that kind of...
That's its own form of empowerment.
Yeah.
Like, I can be like one of the boys.
Right. And now... I don't have to, you know, in taking like that need to be like one of the boys off the table and being able to sort of make choices. I see now that it is an empowering thing that I'm at the point where it's like, I'm going to succeed whether or not I'm a member of your club. It doesn't matter, you know, and that is a really,
you've started
thing.
Your own club.
That's right. Sober Ladies Club.
Yeah. I mean, kind of literally, we have the book club.
But we do have a book club, thanks to the Sober Glow.
Thanks. Yeah, it all comes back to the Sober Glow.
And but there is something empowering about being like, you know, for years women felt like they had to fit into this mold in the workplace, right? And that mold was the old boys club drinking mold. And now, in 2019, we don't have to do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can make a choice and be like, no, I'm sober. I don't go to the bar. So, and you know what? I don't care if you like me because I, you know, can talk about last Saturday night's football game.
Yeah.
So it's a whole different thing. But feminism is a very, now that you made me think about it, it really is a very empowering thing.
It is. Yeah. It's, and it's like, I hate that it's controversial. Like, I don't want to bring up politics on here, but it's like, I'm sorry. I don't think equality shouldn't be controversial.
No, it's
treating
not.
People like a human being.
Right.
That shouldn't be a controversial subject.
No, we are all humans.
We are. We're all humans and we deserve love and respect.
Yes.
But whatever. Okay. Yeah. I'll get off that soapbox. So we've got Instagram deep clean, sitting down and having a relaxing non-alcoholic cocktail.
Yeah.
Feminism or empowerment, you know, whatever you want to call it. Number four, ditching self-help books. This is, you know, my favorite subject. Let's see. I'll read a little bit from this part. As someone who writes a self-help blog, I struggle with the self-help world. I used to binge on self-help books with a similar tenacity that I binged on Jack Daniels. I was reading book after book, trying to change every aspect of myself. My unhealthy obsession with personal development got even worse when I was introduced to the concept of vision and goal setting, and I began attending intensive development seminars. I started to project my newfound enlightenment onto each other and started to change them, or tried to change them. And I bring that up because I found in sobriety, I'm finding peace with myself.
Yeah.
Accepting myself for who I am, understanding that I am enough. And on days when life is really freaking hard,
mm-hmm.
those are some of the times that we really need to remember that the most, where it's,
oh my gosh,
getting up, you know, I didn't have a drink today.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or whatever your behavior is, mm-hmm. whatever you're trying to avoid, I didn't do that today.
Yeah.
And that's more than enough.
It goes back to the, it's not vodka, it's not cocaine.
Exactly.
Yep.
And it's following, like, this is kind of tied into the Instagram one where it's like unfollowing, I unfollowed most people that post strictly motivational quotes.
Yeah.
And I started following people that post quotes like, it's okay if all you did today was breathe.
That's right.
You know, like stuff like that, that I find quite grounding.
Yeah, yeah.
Instead of like the opposite end of that, where it's like, if your dreams don't scare you, they're not big enough.
Right.
If that
right,
works for you, right. that's great.
Yeah,
but
that's
to me,
a good point.
That, mm-hmm. that is quite damaging. And if I'm having a bad day
yeah.
and I see a quote like that, then that would just trigger, oh, well, you have it written today.
Yeah.
And then that can lead into another spiral.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I've said this before, but there was this woman, when I used to come in and have a bad day when I was in early recovery, I was counting days and I would go to this meeting at lunch, this 12-step meeting at lunch. And I would come in and I would complain to her, or, you know, she'd say, how's your day? I'd say, it's this, it's that. And then she would just look at me. She had much more time than I did. And she was an older woman. She would be like, did you drink today? And I would say, no. And she would go, then it's a perfect day.
Yes.
And she's right. She's right. The one thing, you know, and if I'm feeling crummy about everything else that's going on, I can remember, I didn't drink today.
You didn't.
And that's a miracle. That never ceases to be a miracle, frankly, from where I was. And the other thing, and I know this is trite, but I would not be being honest if it wasn't, because, you know, in 12 step, you know, I work with a sponsor, and I've had the same sponsor for 14 years, almost 15 years. And I also have sponsees. And when we, you know, when one of my sponsees will sort of, you know, be complaining or having bad whatever, the first thing I suggest that they do is what was suggested to me by my sponsor, which is to sit down and write a gratitude list.
Yes.
It can be 3 items. It can be 5 items. It is frequently the last thing I want to hear. You should go write a gratitude list now. I'm going to strongly suggest that you write a gratitude list. And it's like, ugh. But then as soon as I write it down, as soon as I'm like, I put 2 feet on the ground today.
Yeah.
I'm not dead. You know, like I'm grateful. Like I'm sober. I have health, or I have, you know, whatever, self-respect, you know, that
huge,
you know, remembering just how enormous the simple task of not drinking is and what the ramifications have of that throughout the rest of my life. It's, you know, there is
absolutely,
it should never fail to, you know, get me through a day that sucks.
And these days are going to happen.
And that is a very different thing than what we've talked about before, which is mental health issues and dealing with depression, which I also struggle with, mm-hmm. actual, you know, diagnosed depression that I treat with medication and all that. That to me is different than just having a bad day.
Oh, absolutely.
So that I want to make sure we make that distinction when
I'm
we talk about these things about when sobriety sucks. Because when there is, you know, when things are bad and you're not in the right place and it goes on for a period of time and there are changes happening in your brain and in your physical self and how you're conducting your life, then that requires help. That is not we just fix this ourselves.
And that's a really good point, to where it's a lot of times we don't, asking for help is really hard.
Yes.
Really, really hard.
Yeah.
And I think it's almost, it's really hard, but it's also in a way even harder sometimes to get to the point of where you realize that you need help.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like,
well, yeah,
that's, I mean, even in recovery, this happens, you know, I had 2 breakdowns
yeah.
in
yeah.
2018 and, it led to me, it was predominantly because I didn't want to ask for help.
Right.
I can't admit that I'm struggling in my sobriety if I'm this person who's talking about sobriety on an open platform.
Right, right.
And then I've learned that, like, no, like, talking about when it sucks and when it's really fucking hard, yeah. that's when you're the most relatable.
Well, yeah, and it's all part of it.
It is part of it.
It's all part of it. And, you know, it is, and we have this tendency, I think, and I know I did this, we talked about this previously when we talked about control, but like, I felt like, you know, I had been able to control things in my life, my school life, my family, my career, whatever. Yeah. How come I couldn't get control over alcohol? And that feeling that I was able to control everything made me feel like I should be able to control alcohol. And why, you know, and it resulted in not asking for help for way longer than it should have been.
Yeah.
But it is. Sometimes you can't see it when you're in it necessarily.
And that goes for so many things. Like, that's, yeah. Asking for help.
Yeah.
So I listed the four things I do when mm-hmm. sobriety sucks. Instagram, yeah. deep clean, ditching self-help and motivational quote yep. stuff. Sitting down, having a nice cold glass of something non-alcoholic.
Yeah.
And what was my other one?
Feminism.
And feminism.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And feminism. But see, it's funny because this is one of those times where like I really see the difference in me having gone through 12-step and that you've done it a different way, because I immediately, when I think about what do I do when sobriety sucks, I go immediately into the 12-step thing.
Okay.
I go write a gratitude list, right?
I go to a meeting.
I call somebody in recovery and say, I'm having a crummy day and this sucks and I'm really upset about it. And I get it out. I have a higher power. I will, you know, like I said, I don't pray every morning, but I do always wake up and say thank you. And there are plenty of times when I will have a conversation with my higher power when something really sucks and I just want help to get through it. And I have to remember that, you know, I am being taken care of, and that if I have 10 problems and I pick up a drink, I have 11 problems.
Oh, that's good.
So it really, you know, I really go heavy into, you know, that all the 12-step stuff when I struggle. It has really been, to me, it's given me tools that I break out all the time. So, yeah. And I think, you know, at the end of the day, they're similar kinds of things in terms of finding something that gives you relief. Like, I have found relief in the 12 steps and, you know, practicing all of that. And you have found other things that are mm-hmm. a source of relief. And the idea is, like, how do you get that relief? How do you get yourself out of feeling like I'm having a yeah. shitty day, things suck, without relapsing?
Yeah, that's a really good point. There's times when I'm distracted.
There are times when
I'm
what
so
when you want to
distracted.
Escape.
Mick Jagger just walked in, and I just yeah. I just can't stop looking at him.
Do you remember Gilda Radner? There, and we're gonna wrap up, but Gilda Radner, there's that documentary of her. Have you ever seen Gilda Radner do Candy Slice and the Slices?
No,
the song Gimme Mick. Okay, this is what we're gonna have to do. We're gonna have to get on YouTube, and you have to see Gilda Radner do "Gimme Mick," and I think everyone else would enjoy that.
That's your homework assignment, guys.
It was her skit, "Candy Slice and the Slices." Gimme Mick.
Okay, so. Sign me up.
So now we've talked about the different ways that we try and get some relief when things suck.
Yes, I'm glad we did this episode. It's because it's so important. There's a lot of the sobriety is often, like, you know, marketed as this, like, yay, this is so fun.
God.
Look at how great my life
is. Oh, my
is.
Gosh.
And it's yeah. like, yes, my life is significantly better since I stopped getting wasted
yeah.
and stopped hating myself as much.
Yeah.
as much.
You better not hate yourself.
I mean, come on. Don't we all hate ourselves a little bit?
No.
Okay. Well, that's another episode.
We forgive
episode.
Ourselves.
I'll call my therapist.
We forgive ourselves. Although, if that raises, and that raises... another slogan that I use all the time that I saw one of the first times I walked into 12-step, and it just said, high expectations, low serenity. And it's true.
That's true. And
so.
And to let's end it on a song lyric.
Ooh.
The Gin Blossoms, Hey Jealousy.
Oh.
If you don't expect too much from me,
yeah. you might not be let down.
I remember when I heard that song. I mean, that song just that
yeah.
album just celebrated like what 20 years.
Yeah.
That lyric blew my mind. That I probably that goes around in my head
yeah.
at least once a week. Of it's just such good advice.
I have that on one of my workouts. we will see you next time.
Listen to Jim Blossom.
Thanks for listening. We would love to hear from you guys. If anybody wants to ask questions, have any discussion, comments, weigh in, you can find me at Girl Walks Out on Twitter, on Instagram, and my website is lisasmithauthor.com.
Yes, and you can find me at Tawny M. Lara, and my website is tawnylara.com. And my blog you can find at sobrietyparty.com.
That's right.
T-E-A.